Okay, so faith. To me, it's being confident. It's that confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances, feelings, or even consequences. Right? So we have to be obedient in our faith no matter what happens, no matter what we know, no matter what we don't know, no matter how we feel about it. Because our faith isn't about how we feel or what we're going to get out of it. It's about what? It's about trusting God, right? So what it means is that as God speaks to us, as God directs us, that we're simply to do what he's asked us to do. That no matter what the circumstances that we're looking at could possibly dictate to us, no matter what our feelings are saying, and often they're screaming like, you're out of your mind for thinking that you're going to possibly do that, right? Have you guys ever had that where the Lord has told you to do something, you're like, okay, if I'm obedient, people are going to think I'm totally crazy for doing that. Like, why would I just pick up everything I have and, like, move to another country and become a missionary? To most people, that would seem ludicrous, right? And so there's often times where our mind is telling us, like, you're nuts for thinking that you can do that. There's no way that I have that talent or that ability, but God somehow is directing you in a path, and your mind is going, you're crazy. Or no matter what it could cost you. That's a big one, isn't it? Lord's telling you, you need to give something up. Well, Lord, if I give that up, then I'm going to lose this. I'm not going to have these finances. Right? So basically, faith is trusting God no matter what. So obedient faith. Jasmine talked a little bit about it last week. Right? Obedient faith. Faith rarely knows where it's being led. But here's what we do know. Because often, have you ever walked in faith and you're like, I don't know where you're taking me, Lord, but I'm just going to step out in faith. I think Chuck used to say, like, you know, if you feel like God's calling you to something and you take a step in faith, he's not going to just let you drop into a pit. He's going to acknowledge that and he's going to help you walk that walk of faith, right? But often we don't know what that next step is. But this is what we do know. We know who is leading us, don't we? So we may not know what that next step is, but we know who it is who's telling us to take that next step. We know that when we're stepping out in faith, that God is the one that's leading us to step out in that faith. So when we walk in faith, this is what we're saying. That we may not totally know why we're going to step out in faith or where we're going to go next, but that we're trusting God. And we do know a couple of things, right? So trusting God isn't just like this blind thing. Like, I don't know who God is. I don't know why he's leading me in this direction, but I'm going to trust him. It's not a blind thing. This is what we know about God, right? We know that as we step out in faith, that we're in God's hands. We know that. That as we walk in faith, God's asking us to walk in faith, and we're walking, and we know that we're in God's hands. We know that God loves us, don't we? Because all over his word, he tells us how much he loves us. And we know that he wants the best for us, because he also tells us that in his word, doesn't he? He doesn't say that I'm going to give you a snake and a stone. He wants the best for you. He wants the ultimate reward, the ultimate prize. Holding on to that, holding on to knowing who's leading us in that walk of faith, even when we don't know the direction that we're being led, it makes that journey amazing. And I know that sounds weird. And we look at this hall of faith and we think, oh, that's so great. But if you look at each of those stories, there's some radical stuff that each of those people went through to get to that place of being listed in this hall of faith, right? But that amazing journey happens not because we know what the next step is, but because we know who's leading us. We know that God loves us greatly. And so why would he lead us into a place that he doesn't want us to be? He wouldn't do that. And so that's the core, right? That obedient faith is that, you know, we might say, I don't know where I'm going, and I may not get it right at this moment, but I trust you, Lord. I trust you. Obedient faith, even when we can't see the next step. You know, like I said, you know, we rarely know 10 steps. Who in their walk of faith has ever known 10 steps ahead? Anybody? Nobody. You guys are all in good company. Because none of us, when we walk in faith, it's not like God says, you know what, here's your next 10 steps, go and do that, and then I'll give you the next 10. No. And we often want that, don't we? We want, God, show us what we're supposed to do next, and then I'll trust you. Right? Anybody said that? Because I know I have. But God, no, God says, you know what, could you just trust me first? Just trust me first, and I'll show you what to do next. Right? Often we have to put that trust in him. And it's hard because, why? Because the world tells us that our God isn't good. Right? Out there, they tell us that our God isn't good, that we shouldn't follow the God that we love, that we shouldn't be in Bible study, that we shouldn't study his word. It's not the truth. But we know that to be completely wrong, don't we? Every time that I can think of that I have walked in that obedient faith, trusted God for that next step, he has revealed who he is to me. And he has revealed his character in such radical ways. I know that I've shared a little bit about probably what I would consider my biggest faith walk. But there was a time in our life that we went without an income for 3 years with three little kids under five. Started when my youngest son was about 1 year old. The Lord decided in 3 days to take our business from us. That was our sole income. He gave us notice on Thursday, and by Monday, our business was completely gone. And I laugh because he seriously gave us notice. One of the managers at our largest client called up and said, hey, we're signing a contract on Monday with an agency that's doing what you're doing, and you're no longer going to get any business. So he just literally gave us, like, everything was about 3 days back then. But he gave us notice that our business was gone in 3 days. And we began a journey of walking out this radical faith journey in the Lord. And at the time, my husband didn't want me to go back to work yet because we had a little one and he wasn't ready to care for three little ones. And so we began this journey of watching God faithfully take care of us as we stepped out in faith. I knew before my husband was that he was called to ministry. And I kept pushing him that way. And he's like, I need to go get a job. And I said, no, you're not happy there. You need to go serve in ministry. And obviously that's where the Lord had us go. But I saw radical things. Really radical things as I walked by faith. I went to a prayer meeting one morning in the midst of it. No one knew, which I might have told this story before, but nobody knew I had $23.52 in my bank account and literally no food in my pantry for my kids. And I sat down at that prayer meeting and I didn't say a word to anyone. There was about 12 ladies in the room. And when I opened my eyes, there was $80 cash sitting next to me. I never prayed about my situation. I never spoke about my situation. I sat there, and as they prayed, I prayed, because I knew where my situation was. You know, crazy, radical things. It's crazy, insane, and it's very humbling when you walk through something like this. We had a gentleman walk up to us on a Wednesday night and hand us a check for $10,000. He said to him, this morning the Lord woke me up and told me to give you this. To this day, it brings me to tears. But that came by learning faith as we walked through it. 3 years, I did not succeed at walking strongly through faith. I held on to stuff so crazy strong. During that time, we were given crazy things happened. We were given a Sub-Zero refrigerator and freezer that we stuck out in the garage. And we were at a place where we couldn't make our house payment. And my husband says, I'm going to sell those. And I said, no, you're not. And he goes, what? I said, no, God gave us those. And you are not going to sell those. And he says, they're worth $1,800 a piece. That's 2 months worth of house payments. Like, we're going to sell those. I'm like, no, you're not. Took about a week for the Lord to literally just unpeel my fingers, just unpeel them one by one. And at the end of the week, I walked up to my husband and I said, you can sell them. And he looked at me and I said, I know. It took me a week to get the faith. And we put them up for sale. They never sold. We had a camper. We put it up for sale. It never sold. We thought we were going to have to put up our house. It never sold. Do you know that in 3 years, I never lost a single thing? Not a single possession did I have to sell in 3 years. Not a car, not a house, not a refrigerator, nothing. 3 years. But it was a learned thing. As we walked through each trial, as each month came up that we had to pay bills and we had to figure out what to do, there was a place of trusting God more, being obedient to say, take the next step, even when you have no idea what that next step is. Or to say, like, Lord, I don't trust you. I don't trust that you're a good God. I don't trust that you gave us this place, and I know that you're calling my husband to ministry, but somehow you're not going to take us out of it. Because in the midst of it, right, that's what we feel. We feel like God's not going to take us out of it. Like somehow we're going to sit in that situation forever and ever and ever, and that our God somehow is just going to leave us there, like he's forgotten who we are. That's how we feel at times, right? Where he's just asking us, just take the next step. Just take the next step. Trust and think about what I did last time, and then just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. But there are times, right, where he brings us to that place of brokenness, a place of pain. I can't tell you that 3 years of with no income with three little kids was fun. I would come to Joyful Life Bible Study. I was a leader at the time. I would come to Joyful Life Bible Study, and all the women, you know, they're all excited. They want to go to lunch afterwards, right? I couldn't afford lunch. And I had three little kids to feed. There's no way I could go buy lunch even at Rubio's. I would go to lunch with my brown paper bag and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for my kids and I. How humbling is that? Not because I wanted to, but because I was in a place of brokenness. There was a humility, you know, people offering to buy your lunch, and we got a lot of pride, don't we, girls? Who wants to buy lunch? You want to buy lunch for somebody? You want somebody to buy you lunch? Especially when you're in a place of need. I mean, when you're in a place of plenty, it's totally cool, right? But when you're in a place of need and somebody's like, oh, I'm going to buy you lunch. No. That place of pain, right? We learn to trust God. That place of humbleness. We learn to trust God. And I believe that in those places, they're often our greatest lessons and our greatest growth of faith. I can't say that I ever want to walk through that again, but I would love to be in a place where I see my faith grow to that extent. Because I can tell you that I visibly know like where my faith was when I started those 3 years and where I ended up at the end of those 3 years. They're two drastically different places. Two totally different places. I got to know, because that wasn't the only trial I walked through during that time, but I got to a place of knowing who my God was in such a radical way that it was tangibly real to me. Tangibly real, because he was tangibly taking care of us every single month. And so I know that there's places where we say, God, if I have to walk through brokenness, if I have to walk through pain, if I have to walk through humility, I don't want that. And I'm pretty sure a lot of us have probably said that. I mean, who's going to be like, yeah, me, I want pain. Any of you jumping up and down for pain? No. Anybody of you jumping up and down for brokenness to where you're like humbled and on the ground and on your knees? No, none of us are doing that, right? We're not going to magically become radical women of God without walking it out with God, without trusting God as we walk through it, right? It's not like a fairy powder that's like dusted on top of us. It's about walking it out with God. It's about walking through those hard places, about walking through those places of humbleness, walking through those places of brokenness, walking through those places of pain, you know, going through a season of darkness. I mean, I'm pretty sure that none of us ever, like today, Lord, it's a good day for you to humble me. Anybody? Because I'm certainly not going to say that. Right? We don't say that. Like, Lord, humble me today. Show me a place of greater faith. But in reality, that's kind of where we should be. Lord, show me a place of greater faith today. Show me where I can take that next step to trust you even more, right? God wants to give us more faith. That's the beauty of it, right? He's the faithful one. He's the one that created the faith. He's the one that created us. We're created in his image. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to have faith in him. We're supposed to have this obedient faith that trusts him no matter the circumstances. So this is the question. Are we in a place in our lives where we can say, Lord, do what you must to teach us to live by faith? That's a hard one. Do what you must to teach us to live by faith. Chapter 11, the hall of faith, right? Each one of these names in here, they're not remembered for just who they are, but also for the tests that they went through. Right? Think about that. We don't have David without Goliath. We don't have Moses without the Red Sea. Right? Not only the person, but also what they went through. Part of what made these people great is what they went through. And often we, I know I have, tried to avoid the things that I know are going to increase my faith because they are not easy at times to walk through. But this is the cool thing. The failure to not walk in faith doesn't define us. Because your God doesn't define you like that. David's failure with Bathsheba didn't define him, right? Think about that. What defined God? What was he called? A man after? Okay, so now think about that. And think about, I'm sure each of you can pop up things where David failed, didn't you? Can't you? There's plenty of times. So we also can't allow, and God doesn't want us to allow our failures to define us. We should allow the things, those tests, those circumstances in our life to make us who we are, and not avoid the very things that shape our faith. Right? There's times where we can walk straight ahead with God, and we can take that next step of faith, or we can go like this. God's going to let you do it. God's not going to be like this bully that, okay, so I was on vacation. One of the guys showed me this video of Japan. Anybody been to Japan? Have you ever ridden the train? Okay, so he showed me, have you ridden the bullet train? Did you go when the guys were like shoving the people? Okay, so they show this YouTube and there's people on the tracks that are just literally like shoving the people in the car, like just literally like every part of them, like pushing them into the car to shut the doors. That's not our God. Like when you step over here, instead of stepping straight ahead where God has you, he's not going to like shove you back. He's going to let you walk there. So we have a choice. We have a choice to walk forward. And whatever that looks like, whatever the circumstances are, whatever happens, whether it's a test, whether it's darkness, whether it's hard, maybe it's easy, maybe it's a good thing, you know, we have that ability to allow him to shape our faith by walking it out, by having that obedient faith. He gets to shape what our faith looks like in us. Because my faith looks different than your faith. And it looks different than your faith. Because I have different steps to take than you have. Right? So each one of these people, as we looked at them, they came to a crisis in their faith that they decided, I'm going to trust God, even though they don't understand, even though it makes no sense, they're going to trust God, and that is what they became known for. I mean, think about that. Do you think Moses or Noah understood? I mean, think about the size of the ark. Think about, I mean, I know that, what was the Evan Almighty? Is that the one where they built the ark? I mean, I know it's a, you know, I know it's like a movie, but still the idea, people thought he was nuts, right? So last study, when Jasmine talked, you went through Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. That's a pretty hefty list of people. So tonight we're going to look at a few more. Moses and Rahab. And then in verse 32, it says there's many that they couldn't even talk about. Why? Because time is too short to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who by faith, what? By faith went through, and there's a crazy list of things that they went through, didn't they? So let's look at verse 23 really quick. By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict, the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin, for he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Since he was looking ahead to the reward, so right, he looked to that place in heaven, looking forward to that reward. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. Okay, so verse 23 starts basically at the beginning of Moses' life, right? And the faith he had? No, the faith his mom had. The faith that made the basket, right? We all know the story of Moses. The faith that made the basket, that put him in the basket, and sent him down the river. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I don't even want to send my kid off into adulthood, let alone put a baby in a basket and send him down the river. That, to me, is optimistic faith. Faith that trusted God would have something for this beautiful child at the end of the river. And he did, didn't he? He had a great plan for Moses, didn't he? He had someone that looked upon him with favor. He had a sister who watched over him and a mom who got to raise him. All because by optimistic faith, she put that baby in a basket and sent him down the river. Is there a place in your life that you need to trust God with optimistic faith? Maybe it's your kids, my kids, grandkids, maybe a husband or another family member. A place where that faith would be willing to put your kid or your grandkid or your husband in a basket and send them down the river. Not that you would want to send your husband down the river. You know, I've kind of, and I've shared a little bit with you about my oldest, I've kind of had to do this a little bit with him, and God has met me in such really, really cool ways. And the thing about it is that, did Moses' mom entrust that baby to the river, or did she entrust it to whose hands that river was in? Right? When we entrust whatever that situation is, we're not entrusting it to the river. We're entrusting it to the God who holds that river in the palm of his hands. It's not the river. It's not whatever situation is going to take them down the way. It's the God that holds them even in the midst of that situation and whatever is taking them that way. Because why? God loves me. He loves them. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. So the cool thing is that we can have optimistic faith. Why? Because we trust in the river? No, because we trust in our God, right? Because our God is good. God, a couple years ago, spoke to me about Jake. And he said, you know, you need to trust that I'm in him. You've placed me there. You've raised him with me. And you need to trust that I'm still there. I know that you can't trust Jacob right now, but you can trust me, that I will never let go of him, even though he may try to let go of me. It's not about the river, it's about the God. It's about the trusting the God. Trusting the God that we know, that loves us and wants the best for us, right? So I think it's kind of interesting, and I have kids, remember high school, and they have to do reports, right? So I think it's kind of interesting, because I looked at this, and I read through the verses, and I was like, wow, the Lord kind of cliff-noted Moses' life here. And what I see is a progression of faith. Not a faith that was perfect from the first moment, but one that as he walked out his life, as he walked through different circumstances, he grew and grew to be a man of overcoming faith. A man with overcoming faith that trusted God when his life was on the line. Because think about how many times Moses' life was on the line. He went from growing up in the house of Pharaoh to refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh to wandering around Mount Sinai and being called back by God to Egypt, right? To Egypt, the place where he was wanted for murder, the place where his brother hated him, that place, right? And he went. And I don't think he went in great strength or excitement. I don't think he was skipping and jumping back to Egypt. Like, yee-hee, God's calling me back there. I'm so excited. I don't think he was doing that. But he went. He went with faith, with an obedient faith, that as he went and as he walked out, it grew into an overcoming faith that started early on in his life with his mom's optimistic faith. Right? It's a progression. It says in verse 27 that he persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. He persevered. He wasn't accomplished in the faith thing. Right? Our failures, their failures, don't define who they are. And we all know what took place next, right? What happened? He went back to Egypt. The plagues happened. The Israelites were able to leave Egypt. And they get to where? Where? The Red Sea, right? Do you know what happened when they got to the Red Sea? Moses had seen all these radical things, right? Think about that. You're being the spokesperson for God, right? Plague's coming. You're saying a plague's going to come, and a plague comes, right? And you see all this radical stuff happen, and he gets to the Red Sea, and there they are, the Israelites. You got the Egyptians coming behind them, and they have this sea that they can't cross in front of them. And what do they start doing? Because the Israelites love to do this. They start complaining. Moses, you've led us into a trap. We're never going to get out of here. Do you know what Moses does next? Think about this. After he has seen radical things, after he has been used radically by God to move Pharaoh and to release the Israelites, he breaks down and cries. He cries. He is in a crisis. The man who just saw all these radical things happen, who was used by God, saw the release of his people, had a crisis. And God comes to him and says, why do you cry before me? Stand up. What do you have in your hand? Moses replies, it's a walking stick. Hold it over the Red Sea and watch me work. And all of a sudden, Moses was infused with a power that he didn't have before. A moment earlier, he was on his knees crying out to the Lord because all the Israelites are complaining to him. And now, as the Lord speaks to him and he decides to have obedient faith in what God tells him to do, what do you have in your hand, Moses? Well, I have a stick. Well, go hold it over the Red Sea. And he's infused with this power and he's able to do the next thing that God is asking him to do. Because what does he do then? He reaches out and not with like, oh, stand back. No, stand back and watch the salvation of the Lord. That's what he tells the people. Stand back. Watch the salvation of the Lord. Crying to stand back and watch the salvation of the Lord. Don't be discouraged when your faith looks like radical up and down, girls. Just keep walking. Let God lift you up. Let him tell you, stand up and keep walking. Do the next thing. Let him do that for you. We are not defined by our failures. We are not defined because one moment we walk in great faith and one moment we walk in no faith. Because we see right here in the hall of faith that God is showing us that these people did that exact thing. That exact thing. Right? God, in that moment of brokenness for Moses, God met him and he holds him. And he tells him what to do next. And as Moses does it, he sees something absolutely radical happen. As he held that stick out, and he proclaimed what God told him to do, what happened, ladies? That sea parted. That sea parted to where the Israelites could go across on land, and those who were chasing them were all drowned. I know that it's very hard for us to imagine something like that happening, because we don't see things like that here. But I have no doubt in my mind that it happened, just the way it has been said in Scripture. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after being marched around by the Israelites for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute welcomed the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. And what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fire, the raging of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength in weakness. Out of weakness they were made strong. Became mighty in battle and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Other people were tortured, not accepting release so that they might gain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. Like in half, girls, and it's not a magic show. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They are the heroes that the world is not even worthy of. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. The promise. Who's the promise, ladies? Jesus Christ. Think about Rahab for just a moment. I mean, we could go on, right? On and on and on about the list that was just listed and expounding on their different stories, Gideon and Barak and all of those people, right? But Rahab, one person was saved out of that entire area. One person, Rahab. Because of what? Because of her faith, right? She saw something and she wanted it and she went after it. Says in verse 30, that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. They fell down flat. So that was a great battle plan, don't you think? People go march around, blow a trumpet, the walls will fall down. So they were to walk around the walls and then go home, and then walk around the walls and go home. Anybody think that that sounds a little crazy? Right? And on the seventh day, the walls fell down flat. Can someone tell me where Rahab's house was located in Jericho? Where? On the wall? You mean the wall that they were walking around that were going to fall down flat? That wall? Yeah. Okay, can you imagine? Just, I mean, really. So if you just take a moment, just, I mean, I know we read it, but think about it for just a second, even if you close your eyes, okay? So you've got this wall around this huge city, right? And that wall was thick enough for a chariot to ride on. So you have this huge wall. Rahab's house is attached to the wall, like built into the wall. Okay? Walking around, day after day. And what happens? The walls begin to shake. Anybody here in California been in an earthquake? I'm pretty sure this was like magnitude 10, right? So the walls began to shake, and Rahab's in her house. They said, hang what? Yeah, the scarlet cord out the wall, right? Your house will be passed over and everything, right? So everything begins to shake, and the walls begin to fall. And it is said that they literally sunk into the ground, like beneath the ground. They didn't fall sideways. There was no way for anybody to get over them if they did. Think about that. They were the width of where a chariot could ride on them. They sunk literally into the ground. Except for the one space where Rahab's house was, right? Because we are told that her house was saved. I don't know what that looks like, but in my mind's eye, it's a little crazy. Can you even imagine having faith that would keep your body in that house as that was happening around you? Because I know I've been in an earthquake and I'm like, oh, where do I go? Where do you hide? Her faith kept her in that house because she trusted the God that she didn't really know yet. These people that we read about, they have one thing in common. They had confident obedience in God's word in spite of their circumstance, their feelings, and their consequences. Some of these had faith all the way to death. Some of them died, right? Some didn't. But they all are noted here because of their faith. Not a faith that was perfect from the beginning, because we saw that. But a faith that was perfected as they walked out their lives trusting God. God is not asking us to be perfect, ladies. He's asking us to trust. He's asking us to take the next step. Habakkuk says that we're to live by faith, right? And I think Jasmine mentioned that last week. Those who are right with God are going to trust him no matter what. We can't trust a God that we're not right with, because we're not sure if he's right when we're not right with him, right? But when we are, and we have a faith that trusts God, I can tell you one thing, ladies, Satan hates it. Satan hates this kind of faith, absolutely hates it. He hates when people say that they're going to pursue a relationship with Jesus. He hates when people say, I'm going to do what God's asking me to do because I'm going to have an obedient faith. He hates when we're willing to trust him no matter what we see, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what our feelings are. But I'm okay with that. But I'm okay with that because I would much rather trust my God. So as we see with these people, just because we might have a lapse in our faith, Moses had seen great things and then was on his knees and then was standing up declaring the salvation of the Lord. Just because we might have those moments does not mean that God's done with us. Does not mean that we are to regress and walk in a place where, you know, where we feel like God is not going to use us anymore. These people had lapses of faith. And sometimes it's in that broken moment, just like Moses, right? Where God speaks the loudest to us, where our faith is grown even stronger. In those places where God says, what are you doing? Get up, stand up. I have something for you. Take the next step. You know, these guys, they were living in difficult times. It kind of resembles what we're kind of living in now, right? I mean, times are not super easy right now. Everything is about being politically correct. You know, they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to walk by faith. And there's going to be times, ladies, where we're going to have to say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm walking by faith. I'm not going to do the easy thing. I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what it takes. And you know, the only way we can do that, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, right? By your Spirit, says the Lord. Obedient faith, optimistic faith, overcoming faith, faith that grows. Faith is what we need at the time we need it as we confidently trust God, no matter our feelings, our circumstances, or our consequences. We should be encouraged, ladies, because we have a God that will never leave us no matter what we do, that will love us no matter what we do, and will continue to help us walk by faith no matter what we do. There's not a whole lot of people in my life that I can say that about. Most people, there's something contingent on why they like me. God likes us no matter what. No matter what we do, he likes us. No matter what, he wants to be with us. And no matter what, he wants to guide and direct us. It's like coming home when we walk in that place of faith with him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the faith that you started in us, Lord. I pray that you would grow our faith, Lord, that you would help us to be women who are willing to take the next step, to trust you, to be obedient, Lord, to be optimistic for what you have for us next, Lord, to be women who are willing to continue to walk so that we may overcome whatever it is that's in our life, Lord. I pray that we would be radical women of God that enjoy the journey that you put us on, no matter what happens, Lord, no matter what we see or what we don't see, Lord, no matter the circumstances, the consequences, the feelings we might have, Lord, I pray that we would take the next step with you, knowing that we can trust you, knowing that you love us, Lord, knowing that you want the best for us. So, Lord, help us to do that. It's not something that we can do on our own, not something that we can do on our own power or just because we will it, Lord, but we need your Holy Spirit to help us. So, Lord, infuse us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in the way that you desire for us to walk, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would be women who are just bathed to overflowing in your Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We offer up our night to you, Lord God. Continue to speak to us and teach us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.